The morning sunrise. The women at the tomb. The shaking ground. The stone removed. This is Easter. The flash of lightning. The angel's testimony. The promise of Jesus. The empty grave. This is Easter. A day to hope against all odds. A day to worship our living God. A day to believe in the power of Jesus. A day to celebrate and a day to remember. The curse is broken. The promise is true. The tomb is empty. The King is alive. This is Easter.
Amen. Good morning. Good to see all of you here this morning. We had a wonderful first service. I'm looking forward to our time together here as well. Some of you, if you're new here, are wondering, what are these green things at the front here? Well, they are the product of some work from people here in the church. So in the beginning of January, we started a series talking about sowing seed. And so I thought as a practical thing that people in the church, they were all given a little packet of seed and they had to come and sow the seed. And so that was about the second week of January. So we've been caring for these plants and you will notice that some of them are beginning to flower. So we got some flowers that are happening here. It's happening. And so we're just really excited about it. Now, why do we do this? The idea was to show that when you sow, you will reap. It may take some time. You know, it's been weeks and weeks and weeks. You know, at one point, actually, I was like, hey, are these things really flowers or what's going to happen here? But finally, we saw the buds and finally saw some flowers. And so the point is, sometimes in our lives, it's like that as well, right? We're doing something. We're doing something. We're like, well, Lord, you want me to do this, but nothing's happening. Let me tell you something. You will reap a harvest in due time. When you're sowing the principles of God in your life, you will reap a harvest. It just may take a little longer than your patience is saying, if you hear what I'm saying. Amen. Amen. So praise the Lord. We're excited about this. Now, if you show up on Mother's Day, let me tell you the plan. The plan is, after today, we're going to transplant all these into little pots. And the idea is, if you come here on Mother's Day, you get to take one of these home. Now, men, you're not totally excluded. If the ladies all get theirs, then men, you'll get the leftovers. That's just the way it is, all right? Isn't that kind of how it is in life sometimes? It's okay, all right? And so that's the plan. So I'm really, really looking forward to it. Amen. I want to, in a sense, transition into our time together to just talk from the Word. And I want to talk about a term, some terminology. You'll see here, I think they put up, you know, Easter's here, you know, I think some of the songs and other times we're talking about resurrection, Easter. You know, what's appropriate and what's right? Because I've been in different camps of people where if I say Happy Easter to someone, they're rebuking me in the name of Jesus, you know. You can't use that terminology. That's world terminology. But you need to understand that when I think of Easter, I don't think of little bunnies with big ears and little Easter eggs. When I think of Easter, I think of the entire thing that Jesus did. I think of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So when I think of Easter, that's what I think about, all right? Now, for some people, you can't get by the Easter bunny and the eggs when you think of Easter. So listen, for you, if you're making notes and I happen to mention the word Easter, cross that out and put death, burial, and resurrection, and so you can be okay, all right? So I'm not here to offend anyone, but I want you to understand when I say Easter, I'm thinking all about Jesus and what he's done. Amen? But if you're struggling, it's okay. I understand. All right? So I just want to include everyone in this. What we want to do is take a little time and look at the account of when Jesus rose from the grave. Now, you're going to see some things, and I don't know about you, but when I read in the Bible, sometimes especially about this portion of Scripture where we're talking about the resurrection and the disciples having issues with it, not believing in that, it's pretty easy to throw stones. You know what I'm saying? You're like, well, duh, didn't Jesus say he was going to come back from the dead? What is your problem? But here's the thing. For you and I, hindsight's 20/20. You know, we're looking back, and we know he's alive. You know, we see the evidence of it both in history and in our own lives. And so it's easy for us to say that. So here's my word to you. Judge not, lest you be judged. In other words, as we're reading this, don't judge those people of that day. How many people here have been in a difficult circumstance, and it was so murky, in a sense, you couldn't see the light of day? Well, in a sense, that's the disciples. That's Jesus' mother. That's the other ladies that were there. They were in just this fog because of what had just happened. And they didn't have the surety we have on the other side, so to speak, to be able to look back in history and know that it really happened. And so as we look at this, I want you, in a sense, to put yourself in their shoes and walk together with them and just get some fresh new revelation from this portion of Scripture. So we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 24. That's where we're going to be reading. So you have your phone apps or real Bible, please feel free to turn to it. And so it's Luke 24, beginning at verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and they bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest." And so as we look at this, there's a couple things going on. We have a historical event that happened, a real event. But I also believe there's some spiritual things that God wants to say to us today. So let's look at the historical part. They were bringing what to the tomb? Anyone remember? Spices. Well, what's that all about? Well, the spices were the embalming fluid of the day. In other words, nowadays we have, you know, liquid things that they, you know, replace the blood in your body as they're embalming you. Back in that day, they would put spices and then wrap the body with the spices just underneath those wrappings. And because Jesus had been crucified on a Friday just before the Sabbath, they didn't have enough time to do the entire embalming process. And so they put him in a tomb with the idea they were going to come back. And that's where we pick up the story. So they're going to the tomb. In one of the other Gospels, the ladies are talking together and like, who's going to roll the stone away? They're asking all these different questions. And you might wonder, well, why isn't that in this portion of Scripture? Okay, let me just help you if you're new to the Bible. There's four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they're titled by the authors who wrote them, all right? And so in that, you have four different accounts of the Gospel from a different perspective, so to speak. And so it's never does one gospel contradict another. But what happens is one gospel might emphasize something or leave something out, but the other gospel picks it up. And so the beautiful thing is, as you continue to read the gospels, you have this mosaic that brings together all the different parts, which makes a complete picture of what happened. So you're going to hear me from time to time refer to some of the other gospels to bring a point in. And so here we have these women bringing these spices, and the stone is rolled away already, right? And they go in there, and Jesus' body is gone. And then what happens, right? We have two angels, two men dressed in shiny garments show up, and they're like, "Hey, why are you searching for," what did they say? "For the living among the dead. He's risen," right? Now, here's a thought for you and I today. The Lord just showed me that this week as I was reading this account for like the 500th time. Sometimes it takes me a while to get it, you know what I'm saying? But I'm looking at that, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, "Son, there are people that are still embalming dead things today." And what do I mean by that? Listen, there are things in our lives that we need to just bury and move on. But what happens is we come and we embalm them, we bring spices, and we still dedicate time to honoring these dead things that are in our lives, where God has called us to be part of the living, to move on past the dead things and move on to the living that God has purchased for us. And so I ask you this without any show of hands. Do you got some dead things in your life that you're still embalming, that you're still, in a sense, spending time with? You know, old habits, old lifestyles, old ways of thinking, maybe old relationships, whatever, that you just need to let go and move on? Well, I'm telling you, stop bringing the spices to the tomb. And just like the advice of those angels that gave them said, don't keep searching for the living among the dead. Listen, you will not have life in those old dead things. They're dead. Let's move on to the new life that God has for us. And here's the thing, though, and this is what I love. Even though these women were bringing spices to embalm dead Jesus, who wasn't there, in a sense, their focus was wrong, right? Because he had said, look it, I'm going to be raised from the dead. He had told them over and over again he was going to be crucified. And yet they still didn't believe, and they were still embalming dead things. Here's what I love. God still sent the angels to set them straight, to have them go in a new direction. It's the same for you and I. The fact that we're seeking God is the most important thing of all. You may be messed up. Hey, I'll use me. I may be screwed up still in some areas of my life, not quite right. In fact, those that are nearer to me will say, yeah. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, oh, I thought you were agreeing, Norman. Okay. The thing is, I got areas that aren't quite right yet. But here's what I will tell you. I'm seeking Jesus. Anyone else seeking Jesus here? And so the point is, you may not be quite right. You know, you may be, your focus might be wrong. You may be still kind of doing some embalming of some old things in your life and focused on the wrong things. But if you're seeking him and you really are seeking him, he will set you straight. If he has to send angels to talk to you, he'll send angels. If he has to speak by the voice of the Holy Spirit, he'll speak to you. If he has to send a neighbor or a friend or a pastor or someone, God will send them. If your heart is for him, he will help you to seek living things. And that's a promise from God's word, amen? And we're seeing that right here. So let's move on and see what else happens. Verse 10, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooped down. He saw the linen clothes lying by themselves. He departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Now, this is really interesting, right? The ladies come back, and they're like, look, we saw angels. This is what they said. He's risen. You know, what's the attitude of the apostles? We're not so sure. You know, just idle tales. Some versions say it seemed like idle tales, right? And yet, Peter goes and checks it out. So he goes, has a look inside, and what does the word say? He wondered. He just wondered. In other words, for him, he still didn't believe. He's like, I wonder if somebody stole the body. You know, I wonder where the Romans did it or the priest did it or someone, maybe a grave robber stole the body. In other words, he wasn't believing in what? The resurrection. Now, if you read the Gospel of John, this part's left out in Luke, and it says this, that John went with Peter to the tomb. And so Peter goes in first, sees what's going on, and he wondered. But here's what it says concerning John. John went in, saw everything, and here's what the scriptures say, and he believed. Now, how can you have two people seeing exactly the same thing, and one believes and one doesn't? Can I tell you it's exactly the same today? For some people, they may just need to hear the simple gospel of the need to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they're like, I'm all in. Yes, I'll do that. And they believe immediately. Other people need more evidence, maybe a healing or some miraculous sign to happen, and it brings them to a place of believing. But here's what I can promise you, that wherever you and I are in our point of faith, God will come as far as he needs to meet us at that. Amen? Because we know if we read on later, Peter does believe. But it takes Jesus literally showing up in his face and saying, hey, I'm here, I'm alive. You know, and finally Pete's like, oh, okay, this is real. Some of us need that. Anybody here needs those kind of encounters? I know I kind of need that. I need kind of the slap in the face to get my attention to believe. But God will meet you wherever you are. Can you say amen to that? That's just so important. You know, don't think that God doesn't care. Don't think that God doesn't see you where you are. Don't think that God doesn't know the obstacles that are there. He knows. And so you keep stretching out towards him. I promise you, he will come as far as he needs to connect with you. He will. That's just the nature of who he is. Amen? Okay, so let's move on to the third section. And this is actually the part that probably applies the most to you and I. So we're beginning in verse 13. So it's still Luke 24, verse 13. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Then the one whose name was Clopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened here in these days? And Jesus said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. Verse 21, but we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things have happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Verse 25, and Jesus said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And so here we got these two disciples of Jesus, and where are they going? They're leaving Jerusalem to go to Emmaus. It's about 7 miles away, all right? So they're leaving town. But hold it, they're disciples. And here's the other thing. They were aware of some of the things that had happened. It wasn't like they saw Jesus crucified and decided, hey, I'm out of here, I guess this is over. But they actually had heard about what the ladies had not seen, right? Had not seen the body. And how some of the other disciples had gone and found the same things. And yet they were still leaving town. Why was that? Well, the clue is actually in verse 21. It says this, but we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. In other words, their hope had been dashed. They thought that Jesus was going to take over Israel and become the reigning king physically and openly. The Romans would be kicked out, right? And everything would be hunky-dory from this day forward. But Jesus, over and over and over again, while he was walking with his disciples, said this, I'm more concerned, I'm paraphrasing, but he says this, I'm more concerned about your inner peace than your outer peace right now. I'm more concerned about you having eternal life than having peace on this earth. And by the way, let me tell you something. Peace on this earth is pretty fragile, isn't it? You could have a war end tomorrow, and then what happens? A new war pops up over here, right? In other words, peace is fragile in this world. But can I tell you something? Inner peace can never be taken from you because that belongs to Jesus. And if you belong to him, you can walk in that peace. And that's what he came to do, was to establish the kingdom of God on the inside. But you see, their hopes were dashed because they were thinking Jesus was coming for an external kingdom. Now, he is one day. Let me tell you something. He's coming back again, and he is going to rule and reign openly. So that's another conversation. But right now, their hope or their thought was he was coming to do that. And when they saw him on the cross and saw him die and saw his side-bearing prayers, they thought, well, I guess this is it. So where were they going? They were going back to their old life. They were just heading out of town, figuring, I guess this is over. It was a nice experience, but it didn't work out the way I thought it would. So I'm leaving to go back to my life, back to the old way. Is there anyone here in that position where maybe you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've maybe been walking with him, but here's what's happened. You've had some disappointments happen. Some things happen in your life where you thought God was going to do this, and he didn't. Where maybe you were believing in the area of a relationship or in the area of finances or a job situation or whatever, and what happened was it didn't go that way. You know, it went south, as we would say. And you feel that your hope's been taken from you. Now, this doesn't mean that you no longer love God. Nowhere in here does it say these disciples hated Jesus or disavowed him or anything. But they were just walking away in disappointment. I want to tell you something. If you'll come to a place of letting go of past disappointments, you can have a present appointment with him now. But the problem is, if you're so wrapped up in what has happened that didn't go the way you thought it should, you can't fix on what Jesus wants to do right here and right now. This is so important. In fact, that's the key. If that's all you get out of this, I want to tell you something. Jesus is here for you. And just as Jesus showed up for the women who were searching, you know, for the living among the dead, here's Jesus showing up. These guys, they're leaving town. They're walking away from what God had done. And what does Jesus do? Catches up with them. Why? Because he doesn't want any sheep to be lost. Not even one. And so he comes and shows up to these guys. And in a sense, these are no-name disciples. We haven't heard of them before. We never hear about them again. Here's my reason in saying that. God cares about you and me exactly the same as he cared about Peter or John or any of the other apostles, Abraham of the old, Moses. He loves us all equally. And he, just as he ran after them, he will run after you today. So my question to you right at this moment is this: are you like one of those two disciples right now? You're leaving town. Now, you may be here in church. You know, you may be doing all the stuff, you know what I'm saying, all the external stuff. I'm talking about, are you walking away from him on the inside? Because that's all that really counts, really. Now, eventually you'll stop going to church if you're walking away from God, because church is that painful reminder that God still loves you and still got a plan for you and that you don't have to run anymore. So eventually, if you keep walking from God, you'll stop going to church. You'll stop attending church things. You see posts online. All of a sudden, you're like, I want to see less of this. You know, you click that little button. I want to see less of it. But here's the thing. You can't outrun Jesus. He is here for you right now. He'll be there wherever you are in the future. And are you willing to just have a conversation with them? And I love the disciples. Here they are, the two of them, and they're having this conversation. It says their eyes were constrained, right? They didn't know it was Jesus, yet Jesus was still on their hearts. You know, they weren't talking about the weather or the next ball game or whatever. You know, they were still talking about Jesus, even though they were disappointed. And so as I look at this, their hope was wrong thinking, wasn't it? Is your hope right thinking? A hope that God has a plan for your life, and however it works out, it will work out. I think that we put too many conditions on the Lord. We tell him we want it this way. We kind of treat him like, what is it, Burger King or Wendy's, I think. You have it, you can have it your way. Remember, you can say, I want this or don't want that. Yeah, is it Burger King or Wendy's? One of those places. There we go, Burger King. Yeah, and I actually liked it. It's pretty good. You get it the way you want, right? Well, we kind of treat God a little bit like that, right? We come to him, we're like, God, this is what I expect. I want this, I want that, I want this other thing. And God's like, excuse me? You know, literally, that's what he said. Excuse me? You know, it was like my kids. I have five kids, and when they came to me demanding stuff, you know what I did? I'm like, no, you're not going to talk to me that way. When you come with the right attitude, right heart, we can have a conversation. And I think sometimes God feels a little bit that way as well, that when we come as you know, entitled children, you know, with a bad attitude, he's like, no, come with an attitude of humility. And that doesn't mean we don't use God's word. Doesn't mean we come, you know, crying and begging God. I'm not suggesting that at all. But with the right attitude to say, well, Lord, your word says this. And we share that word with the Lord and say, Lord, you know, I believe this word applies to my situation. And Lord God, if I'm not quite right in that, I ask for, you know, give me discernment, give me wisdom in making a right view of this. And Lord, I pray you help me and that your perfect will be done. And this is what I'm believing for. But if it's not the way you want it to be, Lord, show me so I can believe for the right thing. That's the kind of attitude we need to have. Not a demanding kind of thing, telling God what his job is. Kind of, you know, he's the one that put the universes in place. He's the one that put the earth at the right distance from the sun so we don't get fried, put it on an angle so that we have all the seasons of the years. Yeah. Listen, can I tell you, he knows what he's doing? So your life and mine, he's got a plan for it. And we need to be able to come with a heart of humility. And I love these disciples. They're having a conversation. And when Jesus started to open up the scriptures, they didn't say, oh, well, no, we don't believe that. I don't think that's true. You don't see that at all. But he just imparted into them, and they received it, right? Now, here's the thing. We're not going to read this, but it says that they got to the village, and Jesus acted like he was going to go on, and they begged him, said, hey, please, come and have a meal with us. And they had communion together right there. And the Bible says that their eyes were opened, and they realized it was Jesus, and he evaporated in their sight. Now, that's cool enough, but you know what the cool part was? They jump up from the table, and they say, we're going back to Jerusalem. Can I tell you something? Real faith in your life and in mine is when it changes the direction of your life. And that's literally what happened to those disciples. Because they had that encounter with Jesus, it changed the direction they were going. Does anyone need any direction changes? My hand's up. You get what I'm saying? I'm a believer, but my hand's up. In other words, there's some areas in my life I'm still doing wrong thinking. I'm going in the wrong direction. I need help still. And let me tell you something, let Jesus join along in the walk and invite him to be a part of that conversation. Don't rebuke him, don't tell him you know better, but rather just be open so he can correct you and disciple you so that he can bring you to a place where your eyes are opened and you realize that was Jesus speaking, and then you can turn back into his perfect will, amen? That's God's heart for each and every person here, amen. So, I want to leave you with just a couple of thoughts, just some things that I drew out of the scriptures that I just read about what Easter means. So here's what I believe Easter means. Easter means forgiveness. Ultimate forgiveness. I don't mean just forgiveness for one thing that you've done or I've done, but forgiveness of everything you've ever done wrong in your life. The cross has paid the price, if you're willing to accept it. Now, I know there are some people who believe that because Jesus died on the cross, he saved the entire world, therefore the entire world is saved. No, that's not true. There's a response that you and I have to do. And that's the difference between believers and unbelievers. Now, God, in giving his son, shed more than enough blood to save anyone who's ever lived and who will ever live. But you have a choice to make to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I believe there's a few people here today that need to make that decision for the first time. And we'll talk about that in a few moments. But you need to realize that forgiveness is available. Now, here's the thing. I'm talking mostly to believers. Can I tell you this, that forgiveness is still available. It's an ongoing forgiveness. Because I don't know about you, I guess I'll speak for myself. I still make mistakes. My wife will confirm that. Yeah, she's nodding her head vigorously. So the point is, I still make mistakes as a believer. And so we need to understand that there's ongoing forgiveness as we continue to go to the Lord and ask for that. Please do not ever feel down and out because you made that mistake again. Jesus will forgive you and he will help you to move on past that. Amen? That's his heart. Okay, so Easter means forgiveness. Let's move on to the next one. I love this and it's connected. Easter means a fresh start. You know, as an unbeliever, when I accepted Jesus, you know, I had this trail of stuff. Everybody have that trail. We all had that trail of stuff that we did that wasn't right, that was wrong, that was sinful, where we missed the mark. And then I accepted Jesus and it was literally like a whiteboard being cleaned off. I get like a do-over. I get to start my life again. It's awesome, right? But the thing is, that's still, when you accept Christ, you get that. But can I tell you something? That God keeps the eraser even while you're a believer? Because again, we're going to make mistakes. And so then we go to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm so sorry for what I've done. And you have, with an attitude of humility, ask for forgiveness. And you know what Jesus does? Takes that eraser and just makes that black disappear on that whiteboard. And you get a do-over again and you're able to move on. Do not let what you've done wrong hold you back from the great future God has for you. In fact, if you're doing that, let me tell you, I'm going to say something. You might not like this. If you're not letting God do that, you've got a spirit of pride in your life. Because you think God's not big enough to deal with that. And he can. He can and he does. Amen? Okay. So Easter means forgiveness. Easter means a fresh start. How about this one? This is incredible. Easter means you never have to be alone again. The word promises is that I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. It's both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament where God promises that for his believers. Now there are times you and I will feel alone, right? You know, again, in the storm of life where it's, you know, thick with clouds and we may not see him, but we need to believe that he's there. And if you're in that storm right now, I encourage you to take time to call out to God and say, Lord, I don't feel you right now. You know, I'm not sensing you right now, but Lord, I know by your word that you are here. Lord, help me to be able to reach out to you and be able to sense that you're here. You need to do that from time to time. I know I do when I'm in a storm. Don't grasp the things of this world, but grasp his hand. He wants to hold you tight and help you through anything you're going through. Amen? Okay, so Easter means forgiveness, fresh start. You don't have to be alone again. And finally, I leave you with this. Easter means that we have opportunities. Before I knew the Lord, I had some opportunities in life. But when you accept Jesus, all of a sudden, you have opportunities you could never have before. For example, to share your faith with your neighbors and with your friends. Remember a couple weeks ago, we made beaded bracelets in church. Some of you were like, this is crazy, but there was purpose in it, all right? So if you don't know what I'm talking about, go on YouTube or Facebook, look back a couple weeks, and you'll see what we did there. But the idea was that it was a way to present the gospel, the salvation message to your neighbors or your friends. Just a tool to help you do that. And so ideally, that's an opportunity that you have now as a believer in the Lord. You know, there's other opportunities we've got. In fact, if you had a look at your card that was handed to you, it mentions that we're doing a mission trip, actually several mission trips to the DR that you can be a part of. And so there's an opportunity as a believer that you could actually reach out to another country. And if you're interested in that, the information's, you know, on that piece of paper. Another opportunity, and in fact, I covet your prayers. In fact, in a moment, I'm going to ask Pastor Vic to come up. that Sandra and I are headed to Zambia tomorrow on April Fool's Day. No connection to April Fool's, by the way. On the 1st, and we're gone till the 17th. And why are we going there? Well, we're going for the exact same reason that these plants are here. A couple of years ago, we planted some seeds. We planted some Bible schools there. And as a result of it, there's a bunch of people graduating. It's 103 or 104 people are graduating. So we're attending and officiating over a couple of graduations there, which is awesome. We're looking forward to that. As well as we're going to be starting another 40 Bible schools, which is really, really awesome. So we're going to be doing that. So Pastor Vic, you want to come up and pray for us? Sandra, come on up. And then after that, we're going to have communion together. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
And I want you to, we are sending him.
Yes.
And Sandra. And so you are participating in this. And
yes.
By participating, we're gonna pray together and believe that God's going to use both Carl and Sandra, Pastor Carl and Pastor Sandra, mightily in the African nation of Zambia. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
So I want you to just extend an arm out as a statement of faith. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to partner with both Pastor Carl and Pastor Sandra, and Lord, that you would give them safe traveling mercies on their way there, that you would keep them safe while they are there.
Thank you, Lord.
And you would keep them safe on their return. But also, Lord, that you would just release a fresh anointing on them to inspire and encourage the pastors that will be attending, and especially those new graduates who will be new pastors, beginning to go out and start churches and Bible studies and just reaching out to their country, and that they would go across the borders of their country to the neighboring countries as well. And so, Lord, we thank you that we have a ministry in this church that not only reaches our community, but literally reaches around the world.
Thank you, Lord.
And so, Lord, we thank you, we praise you. In the one name which is above every other name, his name is Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You know, a big thank you to all of you as well, because it costs, this trip is going to be about $6,000-$7,000, and it's a result of you being a part of this local body in regular giving, tithes and offerings, special gifts that make these things possible. You know, we're not by any means a giant church, yet we are sponsoring three countries: Haiti, Dominican Republic, and Zambia. When you look at it percentage-wise, it's actually a little over 1% of the countries of the world this little church, think about this, is responsible for. Now imagine if a few of the other churches join on. We could have Jesus returning like next week. You know what I'm saying? So pray for the other church. Pray for this church. Amen. But pray for the other churches, that everybody picks up their part, that we all do our part to see the kingdom of God advance around the world. Amen. So I'd like you to stand up right now. We're going to receive communion together here in a few moments. And again, please don't open the big part first. You're going to open the little part first. So if you're new here, it gets a little confusing. And if you didn't get a cup, they're on the tables at the back if you need to grab one, all right? Feel free to do that. So just hold on for a minute. I want to do something that's really, really important. I've talked all the way through this message about the importance of knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but I've never specifically given a call for you to do that. And I don't want to miss this opportunity. So just every head bowed, just for a moment. So here's the question. Do you know where you are on your spiritual journey? Have you already had an encounter with Jesus where you've asked him into your heart, where you've admitted the need that you're a sinner and you need Jesus to be your Savior? And if you have, the Bible says you are now born again. It's that simple. But maybe you've heard about Jesus. You don't disagree with him. You think he's a great guy, and you even acknowledge that, it appears that he came back from the dead. But can I tell you, to be saved, that's not good enough. You have to personally invite him to come into your heart. This is between you and him. It's not joining a church, being part of a denomination, anything like that. This is between you and him. It's a personal relationship. So every head bowed. Is there anyone here that would like to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior and haven't? Just slip your hand up in the air. That's all I want. It's Put your hand up. See that hand? See that hand back there? Anyone else? Just want to make sure I don't miss anyone. Just want to make sure. See that hand back over there on my left? Okay, you can put your hands down. So listen, church, let's work together to help these individuals come into the kingdom. I'm going to say a prayer and ask everyone here to repeat the prayer. But the three or more, because some people kept their hand back, but in their hearts they know they need to accept the Lord and they want to. If you pray the prayer that I'm suggesting and mean it with all your heart, you can accept Jesus into your heart right now. And it will change your destination, change your destiny. So let's do this together. Dear Lord Jesus, I come before you. And I know I need you. I have missed the mark. I've made mistakes. I've sinned. And anything with sin cannot enter heaven. So Jesus, I acknowledge that you died on the cross for my sins. That you took my place so I could have forgiveness and eternal life. So right now, I ask you to be my Savior and my Lord and to lead me and guide me for the rest of my life until I meet you face to face in heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Listen, if you made that decision, I just would love to talk to you for a couple of minutes after I close in prayer, all right? But Father, I thank you. Let's open our little container here, and you're going to find a little wafer. And what that represents is the body of Jesus. Represents the suffering he went through for you and I. So as we take it, it's just a reminder. So I encourage you, let's eat it together. So now if you open the bigger part of your container, you'll find some grape juice in there. This represents the blood of Jesus. It's to remind us of the price he paid so that we don't have to live searching dead things, but that we can walk alive with Jesus. So as we drink this, be reminded of that. And if there's any dead things in your life, ask the Lord to help you let it go, to move on in the new life he has for you. Let's drink together. Father, I thank you for every person here. I thank you for those watching online. Speak a blessing over them. But Lord, I pray, especially this Easter Sunday, that we just see you more clearly. And in doing so, we experience more of the life that you have for each and every one of us. Not just life, but abundant life. I thank you in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you this morning.